All right, welcome back to the Artist Connection podcast. This is Matt Kasar here with my special guest, Mr. Steve Butler. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be speaking with you early in the morning on Monday.
Yeah, like I said, maybe too early to rock and roll, but you've already been at it for a few hours, so that's
yes, that's
cool. So 35 plus years in the music business, I'm so impressed with that to start with, but of course I want to begin the conversation with the big news that your 11th CD, Some Kind of Magic, was just released as of this recording a couple days ago.
Right, yeah, it came out on Friday.
Yeah, very nice.
October. Yeah, thanks.
11 CDs in, that's amazing. Staying power like that in 35 years or however long it's been, because I'm sure there was time before 1980 when you were out there working, and then the first record came out in 1980, but that's a lot of time.
Yeah, we actually had our first single out in 79, so when I think about it, it had music out in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and now two decades into the 21st century.
It's crazy.
It's pretty wild. Yeah, I know. I never would have thought I'd be doing this this long.
Now, when you were a young man starting out, what were you thinking? Did you think it would be maybe a couple albums, or will I even get to an album? What was the plan back then?
I think from the time I started playing guitar, I just, you know, I wanted to be in a band. I had an older brother, Brian, who was playing in bands and kind of took me under his wing, and we started writing songs together very early on. So I think I was 12 when I wrote my first song.
Wow.
So yeah. So it's good. We have a really great connection. It's like we kind of think like one brain by this time. And it's kind of like Mick and Keith. I was reading this thing about, you know, how Mick and Keith were friends since they were little kids, you know, sort of playing music as teenagers. And, you know, you look at those relationships where people just keep working and it, you know, it works. It's what it does.
It does. And you have, I mean, you're bonded, of course, by blood, having your sibling in the band. Mick and Keith, you know, are bonded by that music. And I guess over time it becomes a brotherhood between them, but ups and downs, you know, at least with the Stones, ups and downs through the decades that we've all seen.
Sure. Yeah. And there's that thing of being brothers that, you know, oftentimes when we sing, people aren't really sure who's singing that.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like Don and Phil Everly. You know, they have a genetic thing.
A lot of brothers. I mean, a lot of brothers in rock and roll. I think of the Kinks. I'm going to go see Dave Davies in a couple of weeks, and I've been a huge fan of the Kinks forever. But
yeah, one of my top three bands. Period.
What are the other two? Just curious. What are your top three?
I think as a kid it was the Beatles and the Stones. You know, but it was always. I really liked the British Invasion music a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, the Yardbirds and the Who and all that. But I, you know, influenced a lot by kind of the American response to the British Invasion. Bands like the Byrds, Buffalo Springfield, stuff like that were huge influences in my music.
Do I detect a little Tom Petty in there too?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. People say that, but it's kind of, you know, not that I'm not aware of Tom Petty and not like him, but you know, I think Tom Petty had his first record out in 76. Mine was out in 79. So I think it's probably more that Tom Petty and Smash Palace probably are kind of dipping from the same well.
Sure.
Because when I listen to Tom Petty, I go, that's Roger McGuinn.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So, and he would be the first guy to admit it. So it's, you know, and I'm sure the Beatles were a huge influence on him too, so.
Well, I love the new record. It's four tracks, and as we were talking about a little bit before we started recording, that's kind of the time, right? Getting those couple songs out there, getting a few songs out there, recording more, getting it out there. People have a relatively short attention span, so it's good to grab them often rather than making us wait 3 years for the next Smash Palace record.
Yeah, I think for a lot of bands, those days are over. I think like in the 80s and 90s and into the 21st century, you know, the early part, people could go away for 3 or 4 years and come back with a record and everybody was waiting for it with bated breath. But now there's so much music. I mean, it's unbelievable
the amount
of music that comes out that you can, you know, people forget about you. Just on to the next thing. So, and I like having new music out more often rather than, you know, the EP is great. You can get a record out, at least for us, like every 9 to 12 months.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
It is funny how it's coming full circle to when you think of the late 50s and the 60s, where a lot of it was singles driven.